The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and are based solely on their personal experiences and interpretations. Nothing shared in this podcast should be understood as a factual claim about any identifiable individual. Any references to relationships, past events, or personal history are intentionally nonspecific and are not meant to describe or comment on any particular person. This content is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, therapeutic, or clinical advice. Listeners should consult appropriate professionals for guidance related to their specific circumstances. Hey folks, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to The Human Show. My name is Trish, and I am a mom, a certified adult chair life coach, and an evolving human like you. And my intention is to raise the vibration of the planet by helping to expand the emotional intelligence of as many people as possible. I am here to hold space and share wisdom in support of your personal evolution. I know the path can sometimes be dark, so let's carry a light for each other and find our way. Here we go. Hey folks, thanks for being here. I'm super excited to have a fantabulous guest joining me again today to talk about basically saying you're fine when you're not fine. So Tracy Brown, thank you so much for coming back to chat.
Ah, hello. I am so excited and joyful to be with you. So thanks for asking me to join.
Yeah, of course.
Stop it.
And if anyone hasn't heard the other episode that Tracy joined me for, it was really awesome. I got some great feedback about it too. We talked about rediscovering yourself, exploring your identity. It was a really powerful conversation. So anybody, if you haven't heard that, go check it out. It was really great. And I've been really hoping that you'd come back and join me again. So I'm super excited. And for everyone listening, let me just let you know how this came to be. Tracy posted a reel on Instagram about when we say we're fine. When someone says, how you doing? You're like, I'm fine. And you're really not. And, you know, she mentioned how when we say that, one, we're abandoning ourselves. Two, we're creating distance between us and that person. And three, we're just suppressing the feelings and they're going to fester and they're going to come out when you least expect it. So when I watched this reel, I was like, oh, yes, like I can totally relate. I've done this. And I sent Tracy a message and I was like, yes, I've done this. Tracy said, hey, how did you get past it? How did you increase your awareness? And I was like, would you join me for an episode? Because this is going to be a juicy conversation. So thank you for making the time, because I think this is going to be a really powerful conversation that can help a lot of people.
Oh, I do too. And it's interesting because this actually feels like it's very related to our first conversation, right? It's about being authentic with yourself. And I feel the exact same way. I too would say, I'm fine. And I actually still have to catch myself, because there are times where an emotion will come through and I'll just kind of ignore it. In that way, I'm not addressing the I'm not fine to myself. So it's still something that I practice. And I think you actually said this in our exchange, that it is kind of a lifelong journey to constantly be in touch with what is true for you.
Yeah. And that reminds me of something you said in that last episode that you shared with me was, and I think one of your mentors maybe said this, like, there is no end point. There is no place that you get to and you're like, okay, I made it. I'm done. All the healing, all the personal growth. I hit the finish line. I'm good. Like, that doesn't happen. It's a lifelong process, because we are always growing and evolving. It is a practice. And I like to say practice, especially when I catch myself saying work, because then it sounds like there's a lot of effort. So I prefer to say practice. It helps me. Because if I say work, I'm like, ugh, I don't want to do it. But if practice, you know, it's a little more digestible.
Yeah, absolutely. And, You know, the thing of it is, and I use that phrase, there's no there there. Like, we're always on the journey until we take our last breath. That's the whole point of why our souls come down. It's to have this human experience for the learnings and the growth of our soul. So that never
ends.
Absolutely. And I think that this particular point we're talking about today, the I'm fine, I think sometimes it is so difficult to really live in that radical honesty because of the origin of why we say it, which is generally our childhood. For so many of us, our parents just did the best that they could, but they weren't fully emotionally capable for whatever reason. And so a lot of times, you know, if you think about a baby, when a baby is not happy, that baby cries and will cry and cry and cry. And it does not matter what you think or feel, right? That's our natural way of being. So that's how we're born. But over time, you know, a lot of times we're taught, whether it's we're told directly, big girls don't cry, or it's inferred that when we are just really pleasant and really happy that our parents give us more attention, whatever that is. But so often it's taught to us that we need to abandon our real true emotions. And so we pick that up as a means of survival. So that I'm fine, if we're talking about like in the adult chair, right? If the child chair is, I'm really worried that I'm not going to do well in this presentation. I'm scared. Then the adolescent comes in and says, we're not going to think those thoughts. You just need to move through. Keep going. You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. That's that adolescent. And we know from us taking the program together that the adolescent is really the seat of our ego. And our ego's whole purpose is to protect us so that we stay safe and alive. So that I'm fine is really a form of protection.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up like the parts of the child and the adolescent. And yeah, the adolescent is definitely the survival stage where it's like, you got to keep everybody away so I can, because I need to protect myself. And that's when a lot of defenses get stronger, maybe some detachment. And like you said, when a baby is upset, when a baby has a need, they cry. It's completely unapologetic. It's yeah. Not like, oh, I don't want to bother anyone. It's like, I'm hungry. I need food right now. And it's so pure, right? And we lose that somewhere along the way. And I love that you said big girls don't cry, because, oh my gosh, that is, I think, one of the biggest ones. And now when I hear that, it's like I cringe. But when we were kids, like that was a pretty common thing to hear. We sort of learned to suppress our emotions because we don't want to bother anyone with them. And, you know, this takes me to one of my, when I responded to your reel, I remember, you know, I said, for me, there would be like two parts. One part of me would be not wanting to face my feelings. So this is what I'm saying. Oh, I'm good when I'm not really good. There's a part of me that doesn't want to face my feelings, but there's another part of me that's saying, don't burden them with your junk. And I think this goes back to what we're talking about. This somewhere we learn, don't bother them. Like your stuff, don't bother them with your stuff. And which really teaches us that our feelings don't deserve to be hurt. Our feelings are not valid. And that was one that was took me a really long time to heal, that belief of my feelings are not valid. Because I spent decades and decades and decades suppressing my feelings because I thought they were not valid.
Exactly. Yeah, I loved your response. I thought it was so insightful. especially that I don't want to burden other people. And that too is often something that comes from our childhood. And I'll just speak for myself. My parents had me when they were really young. My father was working a lot and then getting his master's. My mom was in nursing school. They both were busy and didn't have a lot of physical or emotional space. And I can think of a time actually, and this even goes when I was 39 and getting married. And I was just really, there were some things about the wedding planning that my parents were involved with that were really stressful. One with my dad. And so I wanted to share it with my mom. And my mom, it's like I could almost visually see her giving me the hand, like, nope,
oh, wow,
handle it, can't do it. That, you know, you're too emotional, whatever, you know, whatever it was. And at that age, I was old enough to go, okay, wait a minute. I know that what I'm saying and feeling is valid. And I know that there should be a place to share this and for you to receive. And it was like in that moment that I really saw, oh, that's that place where I was taught your emotions are a burden that I can't handle. I mean, that's how I received it, but the energy was can't deal with your emotions. And so I realized, wow, and my parents did their best. Like we all have our stuff, right? And so I know how much they love me, but it did make me think back to my childhood, right? Like, wow, because I remembered when she said it, I remembered how I felt. And I was like, I knew that emotion was so old. I was like, oh, I haven't felt this in so long, but I know this emotion really. I mean, I know this energy really well. And so if this was happening when I was a child, what we do then with those messages is we internalize them and we make it somehow to be about us. And so the way that I internalize it is my stuff, my emotions are a burden to other people. That may resonate for you, but yeah, right? Like that's really, and so when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so true. And now as a coach, having had clients, it feels like it's more common than not.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, I think what happens is because we feel like our emotions are a burden, it's not only do we not share them, we don't even let ourselves feel them. So we just push this stuff down. It's like, not only are we not burdening anyone else, but we don't want to burden ourselves because we don't learn how to feel our feelings. Like I was probably 40, I think, when I started learning this. If you had said this to me in my teens or 20s, I probably would have rolled my eyes at you. Like, that was a foreign concept, feeling your feelings. Like, what is that? And it's a hard thing. And when it's really freaking painful, like, I want to acknowledge that. It's easier said than done. When we say, feel your feelings, and I'm saying it all the time, clients on social media, I'm always like, you need to feel your feelings. Otherwise, they're going to sit with you and they're going to follow you around and they're going to come out when you don't expect it. I want to acknowledge that this is not always easy. It is freaking painful and uncomfortable. So I want to acknowledge that too. And it's another reason why we suppress them. We're so afraid that they're going to consume us or destroy us because it's so painful.
Yeah. And I loved when you said that we weren't taught. If we're not taught how to manage and feel our emotions and how to work with them and how to hold them even, we don't know, so we don't do it. So even the fact of like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how to do this is part of it, in addition to like, it's really scary. And I think what you said about, and I may not have the right language here, but the idea that I heard was like, I'll get lost in it, or I'll drown in it, or I won't be able to get out of it. It's because we weren't taught how to work with them. So it's just sort of like all these little parts come together to create this issue. But I think it can be just as simple as starting with putting your hand on your heart, right? And just feel what it feels like. So start almost like coming from a physical place, right? Yeah, I love that. You just put your hand on your heart. Take a couple deep breaths, or as deep as you can, because even that can sometimes be hard, right? And just notice, maybe first just notice the air coming in and out, the cool air as it enters your body, and the warm air as it leaves, right? And just notice your hand on your heart. And even if you can just do this for 3 seconds, just notice it, right? And it's doing little exercises like that where you're just dipping your toe in the pool, so to speak, of recognizing how you're feeling in your body. Because that is really the place where our feelings begin. Most of the time they begin because your body gives you some sense of something. You get a tightness in your chest. You get a heaviness in your tummy. Maybe your thoughts just start to get really, really fast, right? So if you can start with something really small, that is a really safe way to begin. If it's really, really hard.
Yeah, I love that technique. Just very simple as a way to just slow down and connect. And when you were talking through it, you know, what was coming to me was space, like giving myself space. And I think that's really important because we, you know, what we learn as coaches is it's our job to hold space for people. And when you have a lot of feelings and you need to get them out, you need a safe space. And before you can, if you're someone like me who spent most of their life suppressing their emotions, it can be terrifying to take that first step of vulnerability to share with someone. And I think it's really important to start with yourself. And that little exercise that you just did, and there are other ways, just to start holding space for yourself.
Yeah.
And as that gets more comfortable, and you start letting those emotions come through and you get more comfortable with that, it will gradually become easier to then share that with others, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, girl. Yes, exactly. It's starting to build that comfort within, but it's also building that relationship with self. Right. I read something very recently, or there was something that just made me think about. No one else ever will be able to give us exactly what we need better than what we can do for ourselves. So it really does start from within. Absolutely. And I loved what you said about giving space, just giving yourself that room. I mean, yes, Trish, yes. And that requires either slowing down or it requires prioritizing. And it doesn't have to be these grand big things. It could be if you wake up at 6 a.m., wake up at 5:50 and give yourself 10 minutes or 5 minutes. It's just that space to start to tune in within. That's why I will often talk to clients about, do you have any kind of morning routine or practice? Not that it needs to be perfect or anything, but do you just have a way that you can connect to yourself each morning? So you can either ground in to yourself or you can check in with how I'm feeling. How am I feeling? I do that every morning in meditation. Right. I've got a whole sort of about 45 minute meditation practice that it's made up of a few parts, but one of them includes tuning into how I'm feeling that day and finding a really short guided meditation to address whatever that is. But I love just having that consciousness. And so I think if you can start with that space of tuning into yourself, then you can start to have a sense of either a physical feeling in your body, or you may be able to recognize that I'm feeling something and I don't know. And one of our fellow coaches, her name is Joanne, and she is amazing. Do you remember when she brought into our, I think when we were in Charleston the first week, she brought with her a feeling wheel?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is genius. And maybe it's something you can put in the show notes or what have you. But like there, it's free. You can get it online. You can download it. And it is genius. It's a big wheel with all of these different feelings on it that are like prompts. Because sometimes we can feel something, but we don't even know what that is. Like we just don't know what we're feeling. And this wheel gives you so many different ideas that you can go, oh, is this it? Oh, yeah, that is it. So this wheel is a really great way to understand what it is you're feeling.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point because often we don't know how to put it into words sometimes, what we're feeling. And I think that really helps. And when you name something, it's a friend of mine says, name it to tame it. Like when you name it, then you get some power over it, right? So that helps. If you're like, I don't know, I'm just all over the place. I feel, you know, when you look at this and you're like, oh yeah, that's that emotion. Yeah, that resonates. And when you can say that, oh, I feel blank. Like I feel scared. I feel nervous. I feel ashamed. Then it helps you have some power over it and feel a little more control. Because you're like, okay, I know what it is. Now I can maybe explore a little bit or at least write it down. And I know that's something that you like to talk about is journaling, right? If you're not comfortable yet talking to someone about it, just freak it. Just get it out of yourself. Get it out of your body.
That's right. Exactly. Right? An energy. Because if you think about it, our feelings are just an energy, right? It's energy. And so when you are literally moving your hand with a pen, it's as if the emotion goes through your arm, through that pen and onto the paper. So you're literally like physically getting it out of you. And I loved what you said because it puts us back into the driver's seat. Mm. All of a sudden, our emotions are not controlling us. When they're just kind of rattling around in our heads, boy, do they have a lot of power. But when we get them onto paper, it's almost as if not only are we getting that energy out, but we're almost creating distance between the thoughts and who we actually really are. Mm. Right? Because those thoughts are just a part of us. It's not who we are. And when you write it, there's this distance and you can be like, okay, wait a minute. And that's where you, the adult, can take over a little bit. I also think that once you start to get a sense of things, I think that it's always a good idea to be really mindful about who you share them with. When you're walking down the street and someone says, how are you? That may not be the time that you share that you're feeling a lot of pain because you had this argument with your husband. Like, that's not necessarily the time nor the place. And so I think there's something about being super mindful too about those in your life who are safe spaces for you. People that you know will listen, people that you know are going to give you the space to talk, that kind of thing. I think that's also a really important element.
I'm so glad you said that. It was in my notes right here. As you were talking, I was like, oh yeah, I want to bring this up. And you just did. I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know, when someone asks you, oh, how are you doing? You know, we're not trying to encourage you to spill your guts to every person that asks you how you're doing. What I think is really important is when someone says, oh, how you doing? And inside there's this little tug or this pull or this tightness or this knot, to notice that. And you can say, I mean, you can say, I'm fine, but I think what's really important is to notice that you're not. So then you can go and sit with that or write about it or find someone else that you feel safe with. Get on the phone with your friend and say, something's coming up and I feel like crap. Can I just vent for a little bit? You know, I think it's really important to notice when you say I'm fine. And, you know, sometimes I was thinking about this before the calls. Sometimes one of my kids will ask me if I'm okay because they know when I'm stressed out. They know when I'm overwhelmed. Like, I don't think I hide it very well, but they also are in tune. But I don't want to, I mean, one, I don't want to be dishonest with them and say, yeah, everything's great. I also don't want to vent to my 10-year-old. So, you know, what I'll say, if he's like, are you okay? I'll say, no, I'm not. But thank you for asking though. So I acknowledge I'm not okay because I want them to know I'm not okay. And I want you to see me being honest about it. Mm. Also, I'm going to go process it on my own. So I think there are different responses you can give to people. As long as you acknowledge, no, I'm not okay. And I need to go process this somehow, somewhere, and not just keep ignoring it.
Yeah. I love that you said there are two things that really like stuck out to me. One of them, especially when it's with your kids, is if they know something's wrong and we say everything's fine, that's a way that we teach them that they can't trust themselves, right? Mm-hmm. That maybe their intuition is wrong. Maybe they don't have it. So I love that you do that because I think that is an important sort of moment for our kiddos. The other thing that you said that I thought was really important is when you do identify that person. And the thing is like, I've got some really great, super long friendships, but they are their own people. And so I know that when I go to this friend, the energy that I'll probably receive will be like this. And this friend is like that. So over time, I've learned if I need something, I'm going to this person. If I need something else, I'm going to that person. But even if that's sort of not a person's orientation where they don't know necessarily what each person does, when you said, when you do identify someone that you want to speak to and you say, hey, I need to vent, can you just listen to that? That I think is so important too, right? It's because it's our job to tell people what we need, and people's natural inclination is to want to help. And sometimes that's not what we need. We just need someone to listen. And so setting up the conversation in that way, I think really helps us get what we need. It's to say, I just need to vent or what have you. So I love that you said that.
Yeah, I'm glad you reflected that because it's definitely something that for me has played a part in my suppressing or not wanting to share, is because a lot of times I don't want advice. I just want to get it out. And a lot of times I would not share because I'm like, well, they're probably going to tell me you should do this, you should do that. And I don't want to hear all that. So I'm just not going to tell them. That's really important what you just said, to say that I'm going through something. I don't need a solution. Like, I just need an ear. And that's something that I've started saying, like, I don't need a solution. I just need to get this out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important because sometimes that can stop you from sharing because you're like, I don't want someone to tell me all the things that I need to be doing or all the things I should be doing or I should have done. Or because, like you said, people, their instinct is to want to help.
Yeah.
So it's really important to say, here's how you can help. Can you just sit here and listen while I spill all of this? And then we can move on.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's amazing. Again, you know, we were talking about the difference between thoughts being in your head versus getting them out. And we talked about journaling, mm-hmm, as a beautiful way. I can think of so many times where I had that person that I spoke to, and just getting the words out of me created all of these, like it created space for more wisdom to come in. So sometimes them listening and me just talking, I start to figure it out by just doing that. And so yeah, I think that's just that simple.
You're right. And when you said that, I just remembered that back when, like, I used to go to therapy, and probably from my 20s to my 40s, I had seen a number of different therapists on and off over the years before I discovered coaching. And I was like, oh, this is like a whole nother world. But anyway, that's nothing against therapists. It was just the ones that I saw, I think the technique and the strategy wasn't super effective for me. And what I learned, and I remember telling this to people afterwards, I would be like, you know, the most I got out of therapy was hearing the things I was saying. And it's exactly what you're saying. When I would say this stuff out loud, it was like these light bulbs would go off. And often that was so much more helpful to me than, and I guess that's the point, you know, when you go to see a therapist or a coach or a counselor, they're there to hold space for you, to be there without judgment, to be a supportive ear with no judgment. And they did that for me. So I was able to say these things out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And see the light bulbs go off and gain some new wisdom. So it's such a great point. And one more thing I want to say, and then I want to hand it over. But I have encouraged clients to use the voice memo app on their phone to say these things just to get it out. And then you can delete it. You don't have to like play it back. If you want to save them, you can. But just that act of saying it, and you're getting it out of you. One, you're hearing it. And when you hear yourself say these things, there can be things that click. There can be things that release.
100%.
So
yeah,
that's my thoughts.
Yeah. And I love that, because what I've learned being a coach is that there are some people, we're writing things out, it just doesn't work for them. And so I think voice memo is a really fantastic way. But there are times where we do need something more, right? Where you are looking for some wisdom or some food for thought. And that's where I think being really mindful about who you're speaking to is very important. People who are doing their own work, people who are compassionate, you know, whatever that is. So I think that that's a really important piece, because there could be information that someone else has that does help us, or at least maybe it gives us that ability to go, okay, I know that's not it, but it stokes the fires for other ideas. So I do think that. And the other thing I think is also important about the human connection is the unspoken. Sometimes just being in someone else's energy can help you move through it, right? Because our nervous systems are always picking up someone else's nervous system. Or as I like to say, everything's energy. And you can feel someone else's energy, right? If you meet someone and they were running late and they come in, you can feel that anxious energy, right? You can feel it right away. Well, the same goes if you're with someone who is very heart-based and they're caring and they're grounded or what have you, whatever that is, you're picking up that energy and you're receiving it. And so that can also be very helpful. It's just being in the energy of this intimate space or this conversation. That too can be very healing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's why it's so important to find safe spaces. And I think for people who maybe they're not sure if the friends they have are going to be the friends that can listen to some of this deep, vulnerable stuff. And I would say if this is you, if you're not sure you have people, reach out to me, reach out to Tracy. We have resources. And if it's not us, it's someone else, or maybe it's a group. Like, there are lots of groups online that, and I love groups. Like, mm-hmm. Love it. Even if they're online, like, I've gotten so much out of being a part of groups. And even when I don't say anything, like, sometimes I'll just go, just these online support groups, like, sometimes I'll go and I don't say anything. Maybe I'm cranky and I'm like, ugh, I don't even want to. But I make myself go and I just sit, and I always get something out of it, because there's something about being in community. And someone else is going through something that probably will resonate for you. And yeah. Just being there and seeing, oh, someone else is having a hard time too. Like, that, just that can be so helpful, because then we're reminded that we're not alone. And I know there are lots of, you know, there are Facebook groups. And if you can't find any, like I said, reach out to Tracy and me, and we can help you find something, because I don't want anyone to feel like they're alone. And I love to talk about the power of community, and everybody needs it, whether it's one person or 10, it doesn't matter how many, it's just about connection. And, you know, as humans, we're wired for connection. So we all need some safe space where we can go, whether, like I said, whether it's one person or 10 people, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's about the connection.
I love that so much. And you're right. It's very easy for us to feel like we're the only ones who feel this way, or we're alone. And especially when we're living in this world of social media where everyone looks like they have it together, we think, wow, everyone else seems really good. It must just be me. And we realize, little humans, we all have our stuff. We all have our days, and you're not alone. So I love that. And, you know, one of the other things that you referenced that I mentioned in the video is, especially when it's someone you're in an intimate relationship with who asks how you're doing, and saying I'm fine when you're not, it really is like putting up a barrier. And I can speak about this. My husband is okay with it, but we've been together 17 years, and it was very hard for him to share anything. And I am so empathic. So I am constantly picking things up all the time. And he would walk in the door and I would know literally immediately something wasn't okay. And we went through many years like this. And it wasn't because he didn't want to share. He just simply didn't even know what he was feeling or how to do it. And over the years, it really created some true distance. You know, I always thought about getting married. I got married at 40, so I got married a little bit later than most. And I'd always had this idea in my head that I wanted a best friend, like that person, like my person. And I found him and I was so excited. And once we got married, the energy started to shift a little bit and he didn't share so much. And it was really hard. And it wasn't just that, but that was a big part of a distance that over the years just got bigger and bigger. And I would get frustrated because I would know something was wrong and he wouldn't share it. And so I felt, and this was my stuff, I felt like I was being gaslit, right? But it had nothing to do with me. So he was actually one of my greatest teachers. He is one of my greatest teachers, because then it allowed me to go, okay, wait a minute. I'm bringing my stuff in. Where does that come from? And how can I just be a witness? And once I started to really do that work and become just a witness, it allowed this very clean space for his inability to share to really get clear. And we had a really heart-to-heart about this. And he could finally see, like, I don't get to know that part of you. I want to know every part of you. I love you that much. That's part of what love is. is loving that person unconditionally. And man, I love my husband unconditionally, so deep. And so we've really been doing the work, especially since we moved here to Atlanta in these last 3 years. We've been doing so much work. And it's still something we have to work through. It's something, you know, like I have to remember it's not about me. And he has to remember that part of sharing is going to set something free for him, and it's going to actually bring us closer, right? Mm-hmm. And in him doing so, it has really shifted the energy of our marriage, because that barrier that was there is much, much lower.
Yeah. Wow. That's so awesome. That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's so common. And thank you for sharing that. It's beautiful. It's inspiring. And it's so easy to fall into those patterns of not sharing for all different, there's all different reasons. And sometimes we're trying to protect the other person from our stuff. And, you know, I want to point out that, you know, when someone close to you asks you, are you okay? You may not be ready to talk about it in that moment. I do think it's also, it's okay to say, I'm not okay, but I don't want to talk about it right now. As long as you still got to own it. You still have to deal with it. You still have to process it in some way. Whether that's with them or some other way, you still have to get through it. So it's kind of like we talked about how someone, you don't have to just vent to the first person that asks you if you're okay. I think mm-hmm. it's really important that you recognize if you're not okay and figure out how you're going to process that so you don't keep carrying it.
Yeah, I agree. And there was something you said that sparked this thought of we're not under any obligation to share every last little thing of ourselves with anybody. And that's not what we're talking about here, right? There are some things that it's your right to keep to you. But when there's something that's happening and the other person is aware or has some inkling, and like you said, children and adults, we're all the same. We all can pick up on things, right? Mm-hmm. At least saying to the person, yes, but I'm not ready to deal with it, I think is exactly right. I agree with you fully.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll say, you know, no, but I'm still processing, because sometimes I don't even know how to put the things into words yet. But again, I think it's just about the awareness, and it's about noticing. No, I'm actually not okay. Just noticing that. Like, that's really the first step, is to start noticing. And then you get to decide your next step. Am I going to go journal? Am I going to go sit and cry? Am I going to meditate? Am I going to call someone and vent to them? You know, you get to decide that next step. But the first step is owning it, giving yourself permission to feel it.
Yeah.
Right? And honoring it.
Yep. 100%. And if you reach a point where it is important for you to connect with someone else about it, or your spouse or your mother or your siblings, and especially the familial relationships, that can be tricky too. And that's where I really like sit in the space of your first responsibility is to honor yourself. That's mm-hmm. the most important relationship. But, you know, if you do reach that point where you're like, okay, I know I need to talk to someone, afterwards, after you have that conversation, you will feel so good. And I think that was part of what was sort of like food for my husband, because he would speak and he would know that, A, I want to hear you, and B, once he got it out, it felt so good. It felt good to feel close and he wasn't alone. And just to get it out of him was such a relief that I don't think he was even aware that there was tension in not sharing. And so I think that's part of what fueled the kid, You know, I think the more that he spoke, the better he felt. And yeah, and then it just became this sort of natural wave he rides.
Yeah, well, yeah, as you practice, it gets easier, just like anything, right? And I wanted to go back to something that we were talking about, making space for yourself. And I know you mentioned that you have a daily meditation practice and inviting clients to maybe give themselves an extra 10 minutes in the morning. I wanted to go back to that for a moment to talk about people who are like, I don't want to meditate, or I can't sit still for 5 minutes, or I don't want to sit in silence. That sounds horrible. And I just wanted to offer some other ideas. Making space for yourself doesn't mean you have to sit there and meditate for 20 minutes. There's all different ways to do this. One is putting your hand on your heart, breathing, just listening to your breath. But even that, for some people, if this is new, just sitting there quietly can feel uncomfortable. I encourage anyone to give yourself space any way that feels comfortable for you. If you finish your workday and you get in the car and it was stressful and it sucked, just close the door and scream. If that feels good, sit in your car and scream or cry or yell or whatever it is. Give yourself that space to feel. That's a starting point. Sometimes I learned this from someone else, just shaking for 60 seconds, your arms, your hands, whatever, shaking your whole body, and then stopping and just feeling that sort of energy settle. It could be jumping around in place, going in the bathroom and jumping in place for a few minutes, because like we talked about, emotions are energy. And when they get stuck, you have to do something to move them. And there are a lot of different ways that you can give yourself space to start letting it come through. So I just wanted to point that out for people who are like, I don't want to sit still and be quiet. You don't have to. You can find another way to create space for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. And there are thousands of ways, right? You can turn on some music in the morning. It can be really soothing. Or at night, maybe you need to throw on Prince and like, just like you said, move your body, going outside, putting your feet in the earth, taking a quick walk. Like there's lots of really simple ways. We don't, tapping, EFT, people can look that up. Tapping is also a very powerful way to help you move through energy. Whatever way you do it, it is important to feel your feelings, to start the process somewhere, because the feelings don't go away. And oftentimes it's in the not dealing with our feelings that creates other issues. It's where anxiety often comes from, depression comes from. We get knots in our bodies. You know, I remember many years ago in another life, there was a lot that I didn't deal with, a lot. And for me, it came out as I was getting sick all the time. Mm. I had knots up and down my back. I wasn't sleeping. I'd wake up at 4 a.m. with complete panic, to the point that once I quit that life, I walked away from that career. I started to do my inner work, which includes meditation, I realized like I would meditate and get done and feel super anxious. And I would be like, why am I so anxious? Like, I don't have that job anymore. I'm not in that career anymore. Like, I don't have that kind of stress in my life. Why am I feeling so much anxiety? And I realized, I was like, oh my goodness. I have chronic anxiety. Mm. Because I had been in on this hamster wheel and hadn't been dealing with my stuff, I developed anxiety that once those external stresses were gone, my nervous system was just used to being upregulated. So I had taken on this chronic anxiety. And then that took a year plus to unwind, like physically unwind from my body and then mentally, emotionally. But at that point, I was starting to do so much inner work that it naturally was addressed. But those are just some of the things that can happen when we don't address our emotions.
Yeah. And, you know, when you were saying that, you know, you removed all the external stressors, right? The external factors. What also came to me was that after doing this for years, there was still all this emotional junk that had accumulated inside of you. So you got rid of all of the outside stuff that was sort of facilitating this, but you're still left with whatever was inside that had built up after all these years. And that's the stuff you got to feel and let it through. And yeah, because anxiety comes out when you have a lot of stuff there that is suppressed. And often we don't even realize it, right?
Didn't know it. Girl, when I realized this was what was going on, and I'm, like I said, I'm empathic. I had already been meditating, so I was used to going in my body, and yet I was still disconnected from parts of myself. So it was like, oh my goodness. The good news is that when you make the choice to address it, you can heal. You can get through it. It happens and it works. And sometimes it takes some time, but if you are committed, you can move through it. And look, there are some things, and I'm not 100% sure. I'm still on this journey as well, but I have learned personally that there is an enormous amount of stuff that I can heal from. And there may be one or two things that I may never quite master. Maybe I get to 80% or 90%, but now I know what it is. I know how to handle it and I got the tools, right? So there's always an answer.
Yeah. And coming back to where we started, saying I'm fine when I'm not fine. The first thing that you said when you did this Instagram post, yeah. You know, the first thing you said was when we say this, we're abandoning ourselves. And I think this is sort of like everything we're talking about here is that it starts with you.
Yeah.
When you say I'm fine when you're not fine, it's not about the other person. It's not about what you're telling them or not telling them. It's what you're not telling yourself. It's what you're not allowing yourself to feel. And I feel like that's what it comes down to. And that's where you need to start. If you're saying you're fine and you're not fine, then it's time to go sit with yourself and be like, why am I not fine? What is going on? What is this lump in my throat about? And write about it, talk about it, however you want to get it out, but start just listening to yourself and giving yourself permission to feel.
Yeah. And honoring, you know, and having compassion for ourselves. Like humans are such exquisitely beautiful, beautiful little beings. We're all such beautiful beings. And I think that we forget that a lot. I think we really forget that and that we deserve our care. We deserve to take care of ourselves. We deserve to have our truth be something that we can live with all the time. We get to do that. We get that just by being born. And can we honor whoever it is that we truly are, right? Our beauty is in our uniqueness and the things that make us. It's like what I was saying, like one of the things that I loved about you is what a beautiful listener and observer you are. I'm more of a chatty, right? Which has its own thing, right? The point is that we each have our things that make us. And the invitation is, can we honor that more?
Yes. I love that. Can we honor that? That's a question for everyone listening. Can you honor yourself a little bit more today?
Yeah, just
right? A little. Because in case for anyone who needs to hear it, because I needed to hear it, your feelings are valid. Mm-hmm. Every one of them. Your feelings are valid. Everything you feel is okay.
that? Who's 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 that?
Okay, it's by far my favorite. And it's by Paulo Coelho.
Okay.
And it is, maybe the journey isn't so much about becoming anything. Maybe it's about unbecoming everything that isn't really you, so that you can be who you were meant to be in the first place.
Yeah, I think that's so fitting for today's conversation. There's so much that we learned unconsciously growing up. And then now we're trying to unlearn and let the true, you know, the true me come out. The true you is coming out as you're unlearning this old patterns, right?
Yeah. And like, to me, the heart of it is loving who you are. And this hits so deep because this has been my life journey of presenting a certain version of me, right? That I think people will love. Goes back to that childhood belief that who I am is not enough. Who I am doesn't hold worth. So if I be all these other things, including being fine, maybe then people will love me. Maybe then it will be okay. When the truth is, who I am is enough. Who I am is exquisite. And it's something that I've spent so many years, and I'm no different than others, you know, in the journey of loving ourselves. But this one really hit because that's who I used to be. I want to put myself together as being this and that and da-da-da-da-da-da, instead of just like, and tap dancing and people pleasing and all the things, right? Instead of just being me. And some days that means I'm not going to be okay. And that's okay too. Right?
Yeah. It's okay to not be okay. And I love who you are, Tracy. And I am so grateful to know you. And I love that you're a chatty Cathy. And anytime we get on a call, whether we're recording or not, I could just talk to you for hours. Such a flow. It's so easy. You're so easy to talk to and just so warm and welcoming. And your clients are really lucky to have you.
Thank you. Oh my goodness. You just, that landed straight in my heart. You've just lit me up so much. And I feel the same about you, my friend. You know, like really, I believe what we experience is in large part because of who we are and what we put out. So
absolutely.
I mirror it back to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, we could go off in about 8 different directions here, but we need to wrap it up. Thank you again for making the time to chat. And I know we will do it again sometime because we got a lot more to talk about. And really quickly though, before I wrap up, could you just share where you are so people can look you up?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm based down here now in Atlanta, Georgia, but I do work across the country. I've got clients all over. And my website is Coaching with Tracy Brown, and that's T-R-A-C-Y Brown, like the color. And my IG handle is Reedy, R-E-I-D-Y Brown. And that's it.
Awesome.
I don't get too much on the socials.
Yeah, I get it. I'll put all this in the show notes so people can find you. And yeah, thanks again. This was really awesome. Really great conversation.
Thank you too. I'm honored.
And for everyone listening or watching, you are enough just as you are, and you are loved. Make a great day. Hey, before you go, if you enjoy The Human Show, you can help me spread the word by sharing it and leaving a review. Thank you.